The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome into the Week 6 DFS Podcast. My name is Daniel Dopp, joined as always by Mike Clay. What's up, Mike?
Not feeling so hot, a little under the weather, you know, powering through this week. But I decided to carve out a little time for the DFS pod. I can only do so much, and this is a priority, Daniel, because I get to be right next to you and, talk some football.
Yeah, except for the fact that Mike Clay is so sick that we have quarantined him to his house.
Yes.
So you are not next to me. You're next to me in spirit.
Exactly.
And in love, but not in person.
Exactly.
And of course, Al Zeidenfeld. Al, what's going on in LA, buddy?
Not much, man. Feeling good. Weather's nice. I'm 3-1 on picks on this podcast. I'm feeling all right.
Okay. Wow. Spoiler alert, LeSean McCoy. Like, calm down here. It's the beginning of the podcast. All right. I like it. Well, listen, first things first. Please join our weekly contest. Unlimited participants. It is free to enter on DraftKings. There are $200 in weekly prizes. Both Mike Clay and I will tweet it out if you want to join us. You can follow me on Twitter at Daniel Dopp. You can follow Mike Clay at Mike Clay NFL. And Al, you are at Al Zeidenfeld. Correct.
Yep.
Awesome. So follow us there. We are going to be giving you our favorite Week 6 DFS picks. We're going to keep this tight and short, but you know what? We're here to make you guys some money. We want to have a good lineup. We're going to have some fun here with this. So we're going to jump right in. You guys good with that?
Let's go.
All good.
Let's do. All right, at quarterback, Mike Clay, I am so glad we have finally reached the point in the season where Gardner Minshew is somebody that we are talking about on this podcast. $5,000 price point taken on the New Orleans Saints at home. Tell me what you love about the mustache.
Well, look, he's been playing good football.
The mustache. Like, what is it you love about his mustache?
Oh, the mustache is playing good football.
It is.
Right?
It is.
That's the reason he's playing good football.
It.
It's very clear. he's been playing well since he stepped in for Nick Foles, but he hasn't really been a good fantasy quarterback, or at least he wasn't out of the gate because they weren't scoring touchdowns offensively. But that has changed as of late. He had his best fantasy week last week. He's up to quarterback 11 in fantasy points. He's actually been top 16 every week, so he's been giving you a high floor. You like that. He has 9 passing touchdowns. It's 11th most in the league, and adding some value with his legs, which we also like. He's 5th among quarterbacks with 124 rushing yards. And the matchup, again, we've talked about this before, Daniel. The Saints, personnel-wise, have a good defense, but teams throw on them a lot. They have to. You're playing from behind. It's a good team, so they give up a lot. Second most fantasy points to quarterbacks, 3 top 8 weeks allowed already, the 11th most passing yards allowed, the 5th highest average depth of throw allowed, so teams are aiming downfield against them, and the 7th highest yards per attempt allowed. So the matchup is good. He's playing well. It sets up for a good week to use him at only 5,000 here against the Saints.
Yeah, really nice cheap option at quarterback if that's where you want to go here. Another guy you like, a little bit more expensive though, Lamar Jackson, $6,900 taken on the Cincinnati Bengals. It's the wrong cat. It's a cat family, okay? Calm down.
The Cincinnati Cats.
Cincinnati Cats.
Against the Baltimore Birds.
I hate you so much. but I'll say this about Lamar. $6,900, you know, with understanding that you're looking for 3 points per $1,000 that you spend, that projection seems to work out in your favor here, Mike, which is probably why you like Lamar Jackson this week.
Yeah, and Jackson hasn't been nearly as good as he was in week one. I mean, he just tore up the league. Well, not the league. He tore up Miami in week one, put up all these stats, and has really dropped off since. But he gets the Bengals this week. You know, I mean, one of the worst defenses in the league. So he set up pretty nicely. He is QB9 in dropback, so he's getting plenty of chances to throw the football. Some of them scrambles, which we like in fantasy. He's also QB2 in passing touchdowns. Again, a lot of those came in week one, but we know he can do it in good matchups as he did in week one. He's QB1 in carries and rushing yards with over 300 rushing yards already. Has 4 top 10 fantasy weeks. Even though he hasn't been quite as effective, he's still delivering in fantasy because of the rushing. So you like all that. You also like, again, the Cincinnati defense, a little bit of numbers there. 9th most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. They've allowed 17 or more points every week. They're actually near the bottom in passing attempts against, but They've allowed 8.6 yards per attempt. That's fourth highest, a 70% completion percentage, eighth highest. And this might seem relevant, the most quarterback rushes rushing yards against, rushes and rushing yards against. Yeah, Lamar Jackson, we mentioned, he can run the ball, so it fits kind of well against this Bengals defense. Again, he's 6,900, not as cheap as Minshew, quite a bit more actually, but with this matchup, he's a pretty darn good play.
Okay. Al, you've got a guy also that can run the ball, although it's not something that he does a ton, but Deshaun Watson this week, $6,700, a little bit cheaper than Lamar Jackson, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, this seems like it's going to be a shootout. Am I wrong here?
I mean, it's the highest total game on the board, and the one thing that we can look at from week to week in terms of accuracy and projecting quarterback scores and ceiling games is the projected team total. This game has the highest team total on the board, and since it opened, it even went up from 54 to 55. Deshaun Watson has been up and down this year in terms of fantasy production. One week, really great fantasy production, over 30 points. The next week, under 15 points. But those two down weeks that he had were against two particularly tough defenses that can put him in bad spots in Jacksonville and all the pressure that the Carolina Cats or Panthers can put on an opposing quarterback. So this team, the Kansas City Chiefs that he's playing against, they accelerate the pace of the game. They accelerate quarterback scoring. As you said, it definitely looks to be a very high-scoring game, and he's very easy to stack with, as DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, both with 47 and 40 targets respectively, lead this team. And the third person on this team, Jordan Akins, 17 targets. So very easy to stack with. You know where the passes are going to go. Great turn for me this week.
Okay, love that. Another guy that you guys should consider, Matt Ryan, if you need to come down a little bit in price point, $6,400 taking on the Arizona Cardinals. The expectation based on his price point is 19.2 DraftKings points. He has beat that every single week this year. He's had 300 yards passing every week, which, as you know, gets you that three-point bonus, which is something that is awesome for your quarterback. So I am all in on that. This game features two of the six fastest-paced offenses in the league, and Ryan is completing a career-high 70.3% of his passes. I mean, he has just been on a tear. So another guy to consider there at quarterback based on how the rest of your roster breaks down. Let's move ahead to running back, Mike Clay, because Le'Veon Bell getting his quarterback back this week, it looks like, and Sam Darnold taking on the Dallas Cowboys, $6,400. What is it that you like about Le'Veon against Dallas?
Le'Veon against Dallas, well, it's volume, right? I think we talked about him last week. RB20. In fantasy points per game so far is Bell, despite some pretty bad inefficiencies in Jets offense. It was without Sam Darnold. Of course, you would expect the offense to be better with Darnold back. He's top five in targets and receptions at the running back position. 17.8 carries and 8 targets per game. Just ridiculous workhorse volume so far for Le'Veon Bell. He's been on the field for 94% of their offensive snaps. So I'm chasing the volume here and, again, hoping the offense will score more with Sam Darnold back. Also, the Cowboys defense kind of boom bust against running back so far. The sixth most fantasy points allowed. We saw Aaron Jones totally shred them last week. If you had him in your DFS lineup, you know what I'm talking about. The Cowboys allowing 4.6 yards per carry to running backs. They've already allowed 6 rushing touchdowns and 9 carries inside the 5, both of them top 4 in the league. Also, the most targets, second most receptions, and fifth most receiving yards to running backs, which, again, fits perfectly with Le'Veon Bell. We know how much damage he can do as a pass catcher. If he gets 8 targets a game against a defense struggling to stop running backs in the passing game, I mean, look out. He could end up putting up a huge day in that department. So, liking Bell here at 6,400.
Yeah, and Field Yates put out a tweet earlier today that had the highest percentage of team scrimmage yards this season. Le'Veon Bell ranked first with 51.8% of his team's scrimmage yards. I mean, that's all the volume is going to Le'Veon. And obviously with Sam Darnold, you hope that there's a little bit of a correction there. Except for this week, if you got him in your DraftKings lineup, you're hoping that it's all Le'Veon Bell all the time. Mike, the other running back you have here, and I am so excited to hear this, Kenyon Drake, $4,400, has to be the matchup taking on the Washington Redskins. Tell me why you love this value play in a disappointing player so far this year. But you know what? This week looks like a week that he can maybe take advantage of a bad defense.
Yeah, and not Kalen Ballage, right? It's Kenyon Drake.
That's right.
At 4,400 against the Redskins here. Look, Drake, it has been a disaster in Miami on both sides of the ball so far. And yet, Drake has still posted fantasy finishes of 29th, 35th, and 32nd over the past three games. Again, not great at all, but still flirting with kind of flex territory, right? Like, that's halfway decent considering he's been sharing that backfield and they can't score points. Drake has been getting some decent volume, 9+ carries in back-to-back games, 5+ targets in 2 straight games. And then, of course, as you mentioned, you look at the matchup. Redskins defense, 7th most fantasy points allowed to running backs, 4th most carries allowed, 9th most receptions allowed. It actually works out to the 4th most touches and 7th most scrimmage yards allowed to running backs so far this season. So there's not going to be many chances where this season where you actually kind of think the Dolphins offense could be decent. But against the Redskins, that's probably the case. So I'm upgrading Drake here, and at only 4,400, I think he's going to fit into a lot of lineups.
Yeah, he's that guy that when you get to your flex position and you're trying to find someone that you know is going to have a lot of volume, I feel like he would be fantastic there. All right, Al, you, on the other hand, love Alvin Kamara. You love to spend up at running back. We all have seen that the last couple weeks when you have been on Christian McCaffrey, and boy, has that paid off for our listeners. But this week, you're going to pivot a little bit. You like Alvin Kamara quite a bit at $8,000 going up against the Carolina Panthers.
I mean, no. Unfortunately, I can't play Christian McCaffrey on the main slate as he's not on it as they're in London this week. Alvin Kamara against another cat, the Jacksonville Jaguars this week, are allowing a league-high 5.5 yards per carry. We just saw McCaffrey completely shred this Jacksonville defense. Alvin Kamara, though not level volume-wise as Christian McCaffrey, is a similarly talented and similarly utilized player in terms of his usage in the passing game and inclusion everywhere in this offense. I expect Alvin Kamara to have a big game this year. 3 games with 6+ catches, massive floor, and a tremendous ceiling this week against Jacksonville.
Did I say the Panthers? Did I mix up cats again in this thing? I'm so bad at this.
Come on, Daniel.
You're very good. You're very good at cats, though.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Cats are sort of my thing. I'll be honest about that. Another guy to consider, and Mike, we talk about him every single week. Philip Lindsay, $5,300 against the Tennessee Titans. It's just value, value, value there for him. He scored 3 times in the past 3 weeks, and his yards per carry have basically doubled over the last 2 games. 7 yards per carry over his first 3 games when he had 3.6 yards per carry. So another guy to keep in mind if you're looking for a more of a value play there at running back. But, man, those are some good options there at running back you guys have. Wide receiver, let's move ahead and look at Jarvis Landry. $5,200 against the Seattle Seahawks. Jarvis has sort of been a little bit of an ebb and flow with this Baker Mayfield-led offense. But, Mike, you're liking him this week against Seattle.
Yeah, I am. I think this is a good matchup for him, and the volume has been there. Believe it or not, Landry is 8th in the NFL in receiving yards at the wide receiver position right now. He's been efficient for the most part, 10.1 yards per target. That is a career high. His fantasy point total doesn't look great, but he hasn't scored a touchdown, and that can be misleading, and often we point out that that's kind of bad luck. His OTD, which is his opportunity-adjusted touchdown total or expected touchdown total, depending on how you want to look at it, is 1.1. So he should have 1 touchdown, and with a little luck could easily have 2. He's averaging 8 targets per game. He's playing 94% of the snaps. He is a 25-plus percent target share in 4 straight. Just a lot to like here in the volume department. We know volume will eventually turn into production for most players. And then you look at the Seattle defense, kind of mid-pack in terms of fantasy points against receivers. But Jamar Taylor is their slot corner right now. He's been targeted on 27% of his coverage snaps. That is a pretty large number. And by the way, the Seahawks defense, 6th most routes faced against receivers and the 7th most targets allowed. So receivers will soak up targets against this defense, and that should be the case here for Cleveland at home against the Seahawks defense.
Okay, speaking of receivers soaking up targets, let's move on to, boy, Courtland Sutton, $5,000 taken on the Titans. Man, Sutton has looked good this year, gotten in the end zone each of the last 2 weeks, Mike, and you look for him to continue that this week against Tennessee.
Yeah, and we mentioned Landry is a value at $5,200. Sutton is $5,000. He's less playing. I mean, you know, Tennessee defense is decent, fine, but Sutton is too underpriced. I mean, he is the number 10 scoring fantasy receiver right now. Again, at $5,000 at DraftKings, it's crazy. He's 9th in receiving yards. He scored 3 touchdowns. He's been super efficient at 10.6 yards per target with a 68% catch rate. He's been a top 15 fantasy receiver in back-to-back weeks. And then you look at the matchup. You know, the Titans are 12th best against receivers so far, but they've kind of dropped off the past couple of weeks, and they've allowed the 15th most receptions and a 70% catch rate to receivers, which is 8th highest. They're kind of mid-pack in most categories. So, again, it's not really an upgrade or a downgrade here, but, I guess that you could like it a little bit considering the struggles the past couple of weeks after a good start. So, again, it's just another one of those things, and I think I've talked about Sutton quite a bit. His price remains too low. He's just too good of a value considering the production that you're getting.
All right, and let's move on. Al, I got you with a couple of value plays at wide receiver this week, which is legit. Preston Williams and Jamison Crowder, why don't you break down both of those guys for us?
Okay, well, Preston Williams, first of all, I can't believe I wrote up two Miami Dolphins in my article this week. I must have been listening to, like, The Doors' Greatest Hits, and it must have been stuck on a loop on The End, because apparently this is my only friend, The End, as Preston Wilson has actually been all right. You know, in four really bad games for Miami against the Chargers' defense, Dallas' defense, New England, one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the league, and Baltimore, he's put up pretty good fantasy numbers with double digits in three of four games. Now they get Washington, who is very honestly just been not good. Their opponents are completing a league-high 74.7% of passes against the Redskins, 14.1 air yards per target this season, ahead of superstars like Will Fuller and Adam Thielen, and leads the team in catches and targets from Josh Rosen when Rosen has been the quarterback. Has Williams. So at 4,100, I like the floor and the ceiling with him because of the matchup. And maybe I'm projecting a little bit here, and Mike can tell me if I am or if I'm not. But I was really high all through draft season on Jamison Crowder because of a couple of things. One, Gase loves to target the slot in his offensive system, and Sam Darnold since college has always targeted his slot receivers and did it in the pros, did it last year. Remember Quincy Enunwa month until they moved him out of the slot last year. Jamison Crowder, week one, 17 targets. From Sam Darnold. Now Darnold is back. We're expecting better quarterback play. So those box score watchers, those game log watchers, are going to say, well, Crowder's not in play because he had 3 targets and 5 targets and 6 targets the last 3 weeks. I'm expecting more between 6 and 9 targets now that his quarterback is back in play.
Okay. I love that. Mike, is Al wrong on any of these things? He asked you to weigh in here. Now's your opportunity.
Of course not. Al knows his stuff, right? We consult between each other once in a while too. Terrific information there. And, you know, again, I talked about Sam Darnold coming back earlier. That should help Crowder. We saw the production he had in week one. So I'm especially intrigued to see what happens with Crowder, with Robbie Anderson, and honestly, even with Chris Herndon when he eventually gets back on the field. We want to love Chris Herndon, but dealing with an injury. So if you've been holding out hoping you haven't heard Herndon out a couple of weeks. But I'm intrigued by this Jets team going forward once everybody's healthy.
Me too, man. Me too. And I cannot wait for Chris Herndon to get back. I really want to see him on the field. Another guy that I really like, Michael Thomas, going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Here's the thing about Michael Thomas. Leads the league with a 34.6% target share. That's the largest since Brandon Marshall in 2012. Averaging 9 catches a game, and the Jags are allowing the 6th most yards per reception this season at 11.9 yards. So let me do the math. 9 catches times 11.9 yards. Okay, so that puts you over 100 yards, which gets you the 3-point bonus, plus those 9 catches. Yep, I'm going to start Michael Thomas this week, I think is how it just worked out there.
You're going to start Michael Thomas. Bold call.
Yeah, all right, Mike Clay. Let's see you go out on a limb, my friend.
Yeah, I also like DJ Chark, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Boyd. Have you heard of any of those guys?
I've heard of all of those guys. In fact, I believe that there are a couple of these guys. You should check out Mike Clay's wide receiver cornerback matchups, because that's always a great article to read when trying to look at some of these tiebreakers with your DFS picks available on ESPN Plus. Really great article. I can't believe I said something nice about you, but I did.
I appreciate that.
Looking at tight ends, we're going a little bit chalk here, but there's nothing wrong with that. George Kittle, $5,200, taking on the Los Angeles Rams. Mike, I need George Kittle to get in the end zone more often than he has so far this season. Is it going to happen this week?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think the price is kind of caught up with Kittle because he was kind of slow out of the gate, right? Even though the usage was there and, you know, he hadn't scored a touchdown, so it was a little misleading. He was definitely, I don't want to say like Hey, we talked about it last week, but everyone did, right? Everyone kind of saw the bounce back game coming. Everyone in the industry. It was not a surprise. So, the only thing that hasn't caught up again, I think, is the price here. He comes in at $5,200. Again, he was the top scoring fantasy tight end last week. He's been top 12 all four games that he's played this season. He's top 8 at the position in targets, receptions, receiving yards. Has the one touchdown, but his OTD is 2, so it should be double that. And then you look at the matchup here. He's playing the Rams. Mid-pack against tight ends so far, but they've allowed 15-plus points each of the past 2 weeks to the position. And, you know, again, I mentioned the price. By the way, remember, they played Monday night, so that's something we talk about often. Sometimes the prices are always in already. So had they played Sunday and he had that game, it'd probably be higher. So you like that for sure. At $5,200, I think he's your best value this week in the tight end slot.
Okay, Austin Hooper, who right now is tight end 1 season long. He's been the guy that has come out and surprised, I think, almost everybody the most this year. Taking on that Arizona Cardinals defense that just loves to give up points to tight ends. $5,000, Mike. Tell me a little bit more about Austin Hooper.
Yeah, the number one scoring fantasy tight end against the Cardinals. He might score 1 point for every dollar he cost you, right? I think 5,000 is good over.
5,000 points. Yeah,
that sounds about right.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, that'd be some sort of record.
Maybe, possibly. Yeah, it's you kind of, I don't know if we need more analysis, right? You covered it. I mean, I'll put some numbers to go behind what we're talking about. But, you know, Hooper, again, top scoring fantasy tight end, number one in pass routes among tight ends, top 3 in targets, receptions, receiving yards. He has 2 touchdowns. He's a top 6 fantasy tight end 4 of 5 weeks so far. So he has been consistent, unlike last year where he kind of just did all of his damage in a couple of weeks and otherwise was below average. This week it's been consistent production. And then the Cardinals defense. Most fantasy points to tight ends. You know, this is, how about this for an analytic? Terrible in literally every category. Is that enough of
an
analytic right
there?
I mean, most receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. They've already given up 6 to tight ends. Second most end zone targets, 6 highest yards per target. Greg Olsen, Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson, Will Disley all scored 19 or more fantasy points. Just a disaster. They can't stop tight ends. Austin Hooper, just a super high floor. And we've seen already that he's a high ceiling play. Only $5,000, $200 less than George Kittle.
So let's pivot that into another high ceiling kind of a guy. Al, you like Gerald Everett, who over the last 2 weeks has really come on for fantasy managers. Only $3,600 against the 49ers. Feels like really good value, and maybe that price hasn't caught up to him yet.
Yeah, this is a pricing inefficiency this week on one site versus the other. So like on DraftKings, he's like the 11th highest priced quarterback, and it's only a 10-game slate, so we don't have all the players out there. So he's just too cheap right now on DraftKings. Austin Hooper, my number one tight end on the week for all the reasons that you and Mike just mentioned. But if you're looking for a value option, or if you're looking to differentiate in tournaments to get away from that Kittle, to get away from all the people that are playing somebody like Austin Hooper, Gerald Everett in what appears to be a very tough matchup. San Francisco, a great defense, but they've played 4 teams, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Tampa Bay, who don't really utilize the tight end all that much in their attack. They focus elsewhere in their offensive game plan. So defense versus position against tight ends specifically can sometimes be a very noisy stat. And in this sense, I think it's a little bit noisy. The Rams are utilizing 2 tight ends a little bit more in their offensive game plan. The 49ers, I don't think, are as good against tight ends specifically as they appear to be in the DVP stats. And Everett's price tag is just too cheap right now. So I think that he makes a good value play to get you off of the chalkier plays at the higher prices.
Yeah, I love that. And every once in a while, you have to have that to be able to differentiate yourself from the rest of the pack. So another guy we like, Mark Andrews, $4,800 against the Bengals. Opposing tight ends are averaging a league-high 15.3 yards per catch against the Bengals this season. So there's a good possibility that Mark Andrews could sort of rediscover that big play that he was known for last year. So really excited about that. All right, guys, we ran through some like really quick names there. Super easy for you guys to be able to follow along, hopefully, and build a nice lineup. But right now, that's what we are going to do. Mike Clay and I always build a lineup. We figure out who it is that we want to take, and then Al will go from there. One thing I do want to say, I want to give a shout out to our buddy JB Brubaker in the band August Burns Red. He played in a FanDuel tournament after listening to the podcast last week, won $10,000 from that. Also got a VIP trip to Puerto Rico and is a part of the FanDuel championships that they're running. So huge congrats to JB for doing that. Thank you for listening to the podcast. And also, I mean, just a testament to, we try to make it quick. We try to make it easy for you guys to go out there, get a couple of good values, some good picks in your DFS lineup. So stoked for JB. Would love to hear more stories like that. So if you guys ever have any big weeks, please tweet at us and let us know how you guys are doing. But for now, Mike Clay, you go ahead, give us your week six DFS lineup.
Yeah, we'll do. Going to go with a lot of players we just talked about, of course, as usual. Lamar Jackson in there, a quarterback, running back Le'Veon Bell. Going to go with Philip Lindsay, who you kind of broke down there a little bit as well. Still a little underpriced. In the flex, I'm going to go with another running back, so I'll mention him here, Nick Chubb, at home against Seattle. He has been terrific, and I think that offense will be a little bit better at home against Seattle this week. And then wide receiver, going a little cheaper here, Tyler Boyd. He read up on him in that receiver cornerback article Daniel mentioned earlier. He's a tricky one, right? Theoretically, a tough matchup here if he draws the Marlon Humphrey shadow, but slot receivers have just crushed Baltimore, so he's a tricky one this week, but like him at that price point. Jarvis Landry in there, we talked about him. DJ Chark could draw Marshawn Lattimore, who's been inconsistent. That's a tough one, but at 5,500 and with Chark just looking legit, I still like that value. George Kittle at tight end. And I'm going to go with the Cardinals defense this week. You know, I think they're in decent shape. They're at home against an Atlanta offense that has kind of struggled a bit at times. So I think they're a fine play at their price point.
Okay, not a bad lineup. Not bad. I mean, you know, it's not going to be as good as mine, just like last week's wasn't as good as mine.
Oh, okay.
No big deal. But all right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to start a quarterback. I'm taking the mustache. Gardner Minshew. Love him there. For my running backs, I'm going to go Alvin Kamara, and then two cheaper guys. I'm going to go Philip Lindsay and Tevin Coleman. Loved seeing Tevin Coleman get back out on the field, and he looked fantastic in that Monday night game against the Browns. So I like him here, only $4,400. My wide receivers this week, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins, because I wanted something from that game. I needed to get someone in there. I also like, and we haven't mentioned it, but Tyreek Hill has a pretty decent price point if he ends up playing. Not totally sure whether or not he's going to be 100% or good to go, so that's something to monitor. But I wanted something from that Chiefs-Texans game. Wide receiver, going to take DJ Chark to be able to pair him as a stack with Gardner Minshew. Austin Hooper as my tight end because, as Al has said, is there a tight end that is playing this week against the Cardinals? Yes? Then start that tight end. So that is what I am doing here. And then I am taking the cheapest defense on the board, the New York Jets. $1,500. Listen, if they can get 4 or 5 fantasy points, like that's immediately going to make it worthwhile from a price point perspective for me. I have no problem going super cheap there. Hopefully you get a couple sacks, maybe a pick or something like that. So, Al, the time has come. You have heard both lineups. You see where we're going. You right now are 3-1 on the season, as you already gave away at the beginning of the podcast. What say you, my friend?
I mean, I like both lineups this week. I really do. I think that a lot of projection systems are undervaluing Austin Hooper based on his past performance and haven't adjusted for his new role in this Atlanta offense. I like Le'Veon Bell for Mike Clay. Both lineups have DJ Chark. I also noticed that both lineups are taking advantage of DraftKings dropping the salary floor from 2,000 down to 1,500 on defenses. I can't wait to see what happens when Washington or Miami are playing somebody not named Washington or Miami to see if we can get defenses down to like 500 or 200 and how that affects roster construction. That is honestly my favorite thing that I'm looking forward to the next few weeks, to see if they really aggressively price down those defenses.
Yeah, man.
But as it sits, I think there's one mistake on these lineups, and Daniel, I think that you made it. I think Tevin Coleman over Drake looks like the mistake, and that's what's going to cost you, at least as far as my pick. I've got Mike Clay by 14.5.
Wow.
There we go.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right. All right. We'll give that a shot. Last week, the week 4 recap, I finished with 167.22 DraftKings points. Mike came in at 147.2. So I am now leading in the standings 3-2 over Mike Clay. We'll see what happens this week. We've actually gone back and forth. I won week 1, Mike won week 2. I won week 3, Mike won week 4. I won week 5. Trends suggest Mike will win this week, but you know what? I'm going to buck all the trends. That's right. You heard me. Trends,
yeah,
schmends.
That was a B, right?
with
yeah, this
a B.
Is, well,
Buck
we'll
with
see.
A B.
Okay, but
Buck.
this is also like Electoral College versus popular vote, because I have the most points overall, the most votes overall. So
yeah,
you might. So it's we'll see. I mean, we'll see how it plays out.
We'll see how it plays out. And a big shout out to Nick the Quick from last week. 308.74 points. Good for him, dude.
Wow. He should be on the pod. That's a good
He
number.
Should be on the podcast.
I think he won some coin last week.
Certainly did. Certainly did. Awesome. Thank you, guys. As always, every Thursday, Mike, Al, and I are going to be doing this DFS podcast. Come listen to us, get some good values, some good picks, maybe win a little bit of money, and do something different than season long every once in a while. So for now, thank you, Mike, for fighting through whatever it is that you have. I appreciate you staying at home and not coming in and getting the rest of us sick, but I appreciate you fighting through, buddy.
All right, yeah. Hopefully I'll be good to go next week.
Hopefully
and,
you will be.
Back in the shop.
And Al, thank you live from Los Angeles, where the weather is always beautiful. I don't ever want to hear about that again, though. So awesome. Well, guys, for this week, that is it, and we will see you next week. Peace.